So this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to just one proverb. Actually, we're going to read this morning, although we're going to look at a variety of proverbs. But I want you to turn to Proverbs 14, chapter 4, Proverbs 14, verse 4. And in Proverbs 14, 4, we're going to read that in a second. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's on page 652 of the Bible in the pew in front of you. Just grab that and turn to page 652. And we're going to read that in a second. And just as a heads up, after this Sunday, we're going to begin a series of messages up to Easter in studies in the book of Mark. So if you want to read ahead in the book of Mark, we're going to go there up until Easter this year. So if you would go ahead and do that. But let's go ahead, first of all, and begin here with Proverbs 14, verse 4. The Word of God says, "Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox." And as I read that this morning, I want you to know that that's a very appropriate proverb for us as we approach not only this new year, but this new decade. And I'm hoping that this message really ties together with the excellent message that Pastor Ryan gave you last week as we think about what's it going to be like to go into this new year and into this new decade. How are we going to pursue the things that God is calling us to do in 2020? And I think this proverb helps us. Now, let me just give you a little background on the book of Proverbs and what it's all about. Proverbs as a book was written and collected mostly by King Solomon 900 years before Jesus. He was David's son, the great king of Israel. And these proverbs are what we call pithy sayings. They are principles to follow for a life pleasing to God. They are principles that state what is generally and usually true. They are observations, again, of what is generally and usually true. And the purpose of the proverbs is to give moral and ethical guidelines and principles and observations so that we as the readers will become wise and live godly lives in order to avoid the pitfalls of what proverb calls the fool. And you'll see that word a lot in the book of Proverbs. But fool here does not mean mentally deficient. The word fool in Proverbs means self-sufficient. It is a person who orders their life apart from God. So what the Proverbs is trying to do is tell you, don't be a fool, but have wisdom, which we can define as skill at life, where we surrender to the Lord our will and order our lives to seek His will and His guidance to direct us in the coming year and beyond. We want to seek the wisdom that comes from knowing God and then living as God tells us to live. And with that specifically in mind, I want to talk about this particular proverb as an observation and a principle for how we live in 2020. First of all, the observation. The observation is very simple. If you have no oxen, it means a clean manger. The word manger there is the same thing as the idea of a stall that you put an animal in. So you might ask the question, well, what's the big deal about oxen? Well, in the time of Solomon, oxen were like tractors, okay? Think of a tractor and think of how important that is to farming. As a tractor, they pulled the plow to till the soil for planting. The oxen carried supplies. The oxen turned the wheels to thresh the grain and also to bring water up out of a well. Oxen were used for harvesting. They pulled the carts. So the oxen were very important to the people of that time. And the stall or the manger housed the oxen. Now you can imagine in the housing of an oxen in your stall, to put it politely, it got really messy, right? In that stall. However, here's the observation. If you don't have an ox, your stall is clean and pristine. Your stall will be picturesque. It will be sweet smelling. It'll always be neat and nice if you don't have an ox. You will be featured in Better Stalls and Gardens magazine. You will win first place in your neighborhood association the clean stall contest. You win because you have no oxen. So clean is the underlying goal. If you don't buy the ox, you don't make a mess. But the second half of the proverb is the principle that he's getting at. The principle is, with the oxen, there is productivity. With the oxen, there's productivity. If you get the oxen, then you get everything that the oxen can do for you. They will bring you food. They will help you produce food to sell it for money. They provide for your family. They bring you, as verse 4 says, much revenue, or also could be translated, much increase. You get great increase if you have an oxen. However, you also get much mess. Your manger will be messy. That's the trade-off. So therefore, productivity is the underlying goal in buying the ox. And the assumption Solomon is making here is that is the right goal. This is the wisdom of God. And just trying to keep a clean stall is not the right goal, is not wisdom. Productivity trumps the messiness. And the principle in practice is this. If you and I try to keep our lives neat and clean, which is the Puritan Matthew Henry says, pleases the neat and nice, you can do that. You can avoid the messes of relationships and children and jobs that are hard. You can move away from home and you can avoid that and living on your own. You can avoid the mess of working with others. You can avoid showing hospitality. You cannot share the stuff God's given you. As a church, we can avoid the messiness of ministries. I mean, after all, the facility gets used a lot here, and it makes a mess, and it gets the carpet all dirty, etc. Messes come with that. You can avoid the messes of involving yourself in the life of others and working alongside other Christians. You can avoid the mess of trying new ministries. It's a lot of work to get those ministries going. If you do that, you do very little and engage life at a minimum, you get a clean stall. Neat, picturesque, and clean. A woman named Eileen Guder approached that this way when she said, you can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer. You can drink no tea, coffee, or other stimulants in the name of health, go to bed early, stay away from the nightlife, avoid all controversial subjects so as never to give offense. You can mind your own business, avoid involvement in other people's problems, spend money only in necessities, and save all you can. Then she writes, you can still break your neck in the bathtub, and it will serve you right. Most importantly, we can miss what God is calling us to do, because listen, God wants us clearly to buy the ox, to step out of our comfort zone, to walk by faith, to fully engage in living life as God has called you to, even if it's messy and complicated and challenging. Here's the observation and the principle of this proverb put together. Wisdom, God's wisdom, skill at life, is don't settle for a clean stall when the Lord is calling you metaphorically to go by that ox. Now, only you and the Lord know, what are the oxen that God might want you to buy in 2020? It might be a relocation from Boise, Idaho. It might be a new job or career. It might be a new relationship. You may have children. It may be a call to the mission field and serve God overseas, or call to ministry here in Boise. It may be new schooling, new ministry in the church, a different degree of training. It may be increased hospitality. It may be sharing more with others. It may be the next steps that Pastor Ryan mentioned last week to take in our spiritual growth. There are next things. The issue is doing what God wants us to do. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then as God directs us, not letting the barriers to buying the ox keep us again from doing what does God want us to do? Because I'm convinced God's goal is not for us to keep a clean, tidy life, but to fully engage in producing lives that are pleasing to him. But to do that, we must deal with the barriers to buying the ox. There are barriers to buying the ox. I think of three of them this morning. Barriers to buying the ox. The first barrier is laziness. Laziness. Thomas Edison said, "People often miss success because it is dressed in overalls and looks a lot like work." We don't buy the ox because, you see, it's hard work to take care of it. It requires effort to engage in what God is directing us to do. In short, if we're honest, we can be very lazy. One author points out that the best-selling chair in America is not Worker Boy, right? It's Lazy Boy, right? Proverbs uses a wonderful word to describe this idea of our laziness, leaning our lives toward laziness. And that word is sluggard. I love the word sluggard. I just like saying it. It's a great word. The Hebrew word means someone who is leaning idly, is indolent, a slacker, or someone who is slothful. And Proverbs talks a lot about not being a sluggard. In fact, I'd like you to turn with me to a few Proverbs. Proverbs 6, 9 to 11. This is one I used on my teenagers a lot. Proverbs 6, verse 9. Proverbs 6, 9 says, "How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep?" A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. And then over to Proverbs 19, 24. Proverbs 19, verse 24. This one says, "The sluggard, the lazy, buries his hand in the dish, but he will not even bring it back to his mouth. He's so lazy, he won't even feed himself." And then over in Proverbs 21, 25, 21, 25. There it says, "The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work." And then chapter 26, verses 13 to 15, Proverbs 26, verse 13. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road, a lion is in the open square. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed." In other words, he imagines it, but it's not there. So he says, "It might be there. I'm going back to sleep." Verse 15, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again." As you go back to chapter 14, verse 4, you get the picture of laziness. Sluggard. It keeps us from fulfilling what God wants us to do. We need to overcome the barrier to buying the ox of our own laziness. The second barrier to buying the ox, though, is fear. Fear. And there's fear of two things that I see here. Fear of two things. The first barrier here in fear is of risk. Risk. Imagine being a farmer in those days and thinking about the risk that your ox brings you. Your ox can escape. Your ox can turn on you. They can kick you. They can gore you. Your ox can get sick and die. And the risk is in our lives, knowing that the ox could involve changing our lives, stepping out of our comfort zone, testing our skills, challenging us, stretching us in ways that we've never been stretched before. And it can cause us to fear because it looks like too much risk. But beloved, here's the truth of life. The truth is, life is risky. I love what Pastor John Ortberg writes in his excellent book, "If You Want to Walk on the Water, You Need to Get Out of the Boat." Great title. He says this, "Everything is risky. If you're looking for absolute safety, you've chosen the wrong species. You can stay home in bed, but that may make you one of the 500,000 Americans who require emergency room treatment every year for injuries sustained while falling out of bed. You can cover your windows, but that may make you one out of the 10 people a year who accidentally hang themselves on the cords of their window blinds. You can hide your money in a mattress, but that may make you one of the tens of thousands of the people who go to the emergency room every year because of wounds caused by handling money. everything from paper cuts to the wealthy, hernias. He says, add to that the fact that 460,000 people a year are injured by kitchen knives. Manual and power saws account for 100,000 injuries a year, and some 4,000 people a year seriously injure themselves on a pillow. Don't ask me how, but 4,000 people. Risk. Ecclesiastes, again written by Solomon, 10:8 says, he who digs a pit may fall into it. A serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them. And he who splits logs may be endangered by them. In other words, he's saying, you may do those things, but they're risky. Understand, Jesus did not call us to safety. He called us to service. Jesus did not say, follow me to a life of ease. Following his will for our life is our priority, and it involves risk. To borrow from baseball, you can't steal second base with your foot on first. It's risk. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap, because you're living in the fear of risk. There's a wonderful and true interesting story about a man who did something quite risky that I read about. His name was Larry Walker. Larry always wanted to fly, but poor eyesight disqualified him from a pilot in the Air Force. So he gets this idea. He hitched up 45 helium-filled weather balloons to his lawn chair. He strapped himself in with some sandwiches and a pellet gun. His plan was to get up to about 30 feet over his backyard for a few hours, then shoot the balloons and come down. But 45 weather balloons holding 33 cubic feet of helium apiece do not settle for 30 feet. When his friends cut the cord anchoring the lawn chair from the ground, Larry did not level off at 100 feet, nor 1,000 feet. He stopped climbing at 16,000 feet. And at that height, he was reluctant to shoot anything. And he actually drifted into the LAX airport range. After several hours, Larry decided to risk shooting a few balloons and eventually descended enough to be able to get tangled in some power lines. He was rescued, but as he was led away in handcuffs, a reporter asked him, Larry, why did you do it? And he said, a man can't just sit there. See, there's no risk or responsibility if you don't buy the ox, but there's also no reward. A man, a woman, just can't sit there. We have this fear of risk in buying the ox, but the other fear that we can have and that we look at for not doing it is the fear of failure. A barrier to buying the ox is a fear that we may fail. We might be like Peter, who got out of the boat on the Sea of Galilee in Matthew 14 and started out so well and yet sank because he took his eyes off Jesus. But he's the only one who got out of the boat and walked on the water. Truth is, friends, we do fail. Study your Bible. Look at the people of the Scripture. Who failed? Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Peter, and the early Christians. But they did not stop stepping out for the Lord. Here's the key truth. Failure does not ultimately shape you. The way you respond to failure is what shapes you. Failure does not ultimately shape you. The way you respond to failure ultimately shapes you. I don't see in Scripture where God calls us to failure avoidance. God does want us, as someone said, to leave the comfort of routine existence and abandon ourselves to the high adventure of following him. President Theodore Roosevelt put it this way: it is not the critic who counts. It is not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who at best knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold, timid souls who know neither victory or defeat. We need to overcome the barrier to buying the ox of fear of failure. But there is a third barrier to buying the ox. What keeps us from launching out, a third barrier, is a wrong focus. A wrong focus. We will not buy the ox if we are concerned with what Francis Schaeffer referred to as our constant pursuit of personal peace and prosperity. In other words, if all you're shooting for in life as a focus is avoiding the messes and keeping your life neat and tidy, you will miss what God desires. You won't buy the ox. I'll give you one example. Think of having children. I, as my family knows, do not like messes. Ironically, I make the most messes in our family's life. But when we talked about having kids, what I thought about was, they will be messes. And sure enough, they proved me right. Now I have grandkids. They also proved me right. I had to shift my focus. If all I cared about was I want to keep things neat, I would never have had children. We would never have children. They're messy. And yet, I would never exchange that. It is so worth it to have the mess. We miss the productivity of doing what God desires for us if we have the wrong focus. We miss ultimately what God has called us to in Christ. What has he asked us to do? Jesus said it clearly in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. We must not let personal comfort take precedence over pursuing the call of God. Don't let personal comfort take over the pursuit of the call of God. As one author wrote, we must renounce comfort as the ultimate value of our lives. To overcome the barrier of buying the ox of a wrong focus. And therefore, instead of a wrong focus, we need to break through the barriers to buying the ox. How do we break through the barriers to buying the ox? Well, the first way we break through the barriers to buying the ox is we have trust and faith in the Lord. If you'll turn with me to one other proverb, Proverbs 3, very familiar, 5 and 6. You could quote it, many of you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We walk by faith and accept the challenge and the change and the cost of the ox because in the end, obedience to Christ outweighs the messiness of the stall. I read that the single command in Scripture, the one command that occurs more than any other in the Scriptures, the one command of God is this. It's when God says, fear not. That's the greatest command he's given us, the most he's given us. And the most oft-repeated promise in Scripture by God is, I will be with you. The command, fear not. The promise, I will be with you. We break through the barrier of buying the ox when we have faith and trust in the Lord. But second, we break through the barriers of buying the ox when we keep perspective. Keep perspective. You know, I thought about these farmers back then, and I'm sure that they grumbled and complained about their oxen, right? You got to feed them. You got to move those big beasts. You got to harness them. You got to deal with their dumbness. After all, we have a phrase, dumb as an ox. And worst of all, you had to clean up those stalls. And I'm sure when they were knee-deep in the muck of those mangers, they wondered aloud about those oxen and how nice it would be if you didn't have to clean up after them. And they remember this proverb, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. His livelihood, his provision, his survival, they were tied into that ox. That's the perspective. And it would be good for us in 2020 to step back and get perspective as individuals. As you buy the ox of challenge and change and choice as God leads, as you are deep in the responsibilities of life, as you are asking yourself in the midst of hard things, who needs this? To keep perspective of God's provision and presence and direction. As a church family, as we are knee-deep in ministries and hard relationships, as we see the facilities being used and repaired and dealing with the wear and tear and the messes, to not settle for clean barns but full ones, and to say our perspective is we want to glorify God and raise Him up in this facility and in this ministry and with God's people. That's the perspective. And to help you with that, I think of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. He writes in Galatians 6:9, let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. That's the perspective. To keep going even in the messy stall and manger. An observation and a principle to make us wise in the Lord in 2020 and beyond. Go buy the ox. Go buy the ox. With all that means, don't let the barriers stand in your way. Launch out in faith. Trust. Keep the perspective. I'm here to please God in all I do. Productivity? Yes. That pleases the Lord. Again, the proverb says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of that old ox. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much that these pithy proverbs are ways for us to get wisdom from God, which begins by the fear of the Lord and then continues as we trust the Lord to be able to truly follow your word. Lord, forgive us for fear. Forgive us for laziness. Forgive us for losing perspective and not willing to launch out in faith. And Lord, encourage us in this new year to take the steps necessary to lay ourselves before you and say, here's my life, take my life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. Oh God, make that our prayer for this new year, collectively, individually, as your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.